times. And you're part of it. Guys, can I say, you may have think you came here as a refugee. You may have come here and moved to this country. But let me say to you, the Bible says in the book of Acts that God has ordained the borders of our dwellings and the seasons of our lives. You are not here by mistake. You are here with divine purpose. Joseph was sent, taken prisoner, sold into slavery, taken to Egypt as a slave. But the Bible says it was the destiny of God. It was the plan of God to deliver a nation. And let me say to you today, I didn't plan to say this to you, but I want to say this to you. You're here by the will of God. You're here to bring deliverance and healing and salvation in our nation. And actually, some of you are going to go back to your nation, and some of you will go to other nations, and you will carry the fire of the gospel and the fire revival up and down this nation and to the nations of the earth. So actually, this is a very exciting time. We rejoice. It's a great privilege to be here and to share with you and to help equip. That's really part of our heart. In Mission 24 is the name of our ministry. And that's based on Jesus' words in Matthew 24:14, where he said this: "This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to every nation." Now, literally in the Greek text, it's ethnos, which means to every ethnic group. So the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to every ethnic group. And then, and only then, the end shall come. The end is coming. Brothers and sisters, the end is coming. It deserves a better amen than that, but the end is coming. The King is coming. Thank God. And things are speeding up. And so because of it, we need to align our hearts and our lives with the Lordship of Jesus. We need to align ourselves with the great cause of Christ in the gospel, to win the world to Christ. And so that's why we're here tonight. And so I'm going to just let you know what we're going to do tonight, so you got a little bit of an idea. Okay? We've got a certain amount of time. And I'm here, and as obviously I lead Mission 24, founded Mission 24 a good number of years ago. I've been full-time now for 32 years in about 52 countries. Preaching the gospel, sometimes to very large crowds of hundreds of thousands of people on occasion, and sometimes just sitting on the street corner with a beggar, sharing Jesus with him, and sometimes to a government leader or to universities or prisons or out on the streets or in churches or wherever. But the thing is that Jesus has called all of us to reach everyone, everywhere with the good news of Jesus. Amen. And we all have a part to play. Evangelism is a body thing. It's not just the role of evangelists. Evangelists, like all different ministry gifts that God gives to his church, we all have a role to play. And the role to play is always double-sided. 50% of our role is to do the role itself, to do the job. So as an evangelist, my role is to preach the gospel, to lead people to Christ, to heal the sick and cast out demons, and to advance the kingdom of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But number two, another 50% of my role is to equip believers in Christ to do what I do. That's gone very quiet. Wow. Didn't you know you could do what I do? You can. You can. Jesus said in John 14:12 that he who believes in me, he will do the same works that I did. And even greater works than these shall he do. You know, guys, can I just say this? Look, I can see we need to just back up a little, give a little bit of foundation here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach for about 15 minutes, okay? And then I'm going to introduce to you my dear friend here, Justin. Justin, stand up so they can see you, all right? He's the one who shines at the top here. This is where the glory comes down and reflects. Amen. Okay, so Justin's a great evangelist. So he's going to preach for 15 minutes, okay? Now, I'm being specific because we are all evangelists, and 15 minutes can quite quickly become 150. So we're trying to do that, okay? And then I got Wayne to stand up. Wayne, let them all see you. So this is Wayne, okay? So Wayne is another great evangelist, and he's also going to go for 15 minutes, and then I'm going to come back for 15 minutes and wrap it all up, and then we're going to pray for everybody. And we're not going to just pray for you. We're also going to step out together and equip you so we learn to move in the power of the Holy Spirit together. Amen? The Bible says that the body of Christ grows by every supplying joint. Every joint fulfilling its role. Now look, I am an Ephesians 4 ministry. The Bible says that in Ephesians 4 that Christ gave gifts to his church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I thank God for pastors. I'm not one of them, but I thank God for pastors. I am an evangelist. And so, but all of those fivefold ministries have a role, and that role is to equip the church for works of service. Now, when the word equip is used, the word equip in the Greek language comes from the Greek medical world. And what it meant was to set a bone. You know when somebody's bone is broken? Say you break your leg and you get taken to hospital. And the doctor, he's got to help that bone to find its proper place so when it can then get healed up and then find its place, get healed up, and then release you to walk. Amen? Now, that's the background of the word to equip. So look, listen, all fivefold ministries are called to do three things in the church. They are called to bring you to a place of wholeness as a believer in Jesus. To get whole, be made whole, discover your identity in Christ, become whole in Jesus Christ. Number two, to discover your place in God's great purpose in his church and in reaching the world. To find your place. So number one, to make you whole. Number two, to help you find your place. And number three, to release you to function. Amen? So that's our role. That's what we're here for tonight. So I want to talk to you about a particular area of ministry, about the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm going to begin with tonight. I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Because listen, you cannot truly live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Acts chapter 12, the people of Antioch pointed at believers in Jesus Christ who at that time were not called Christians. They were called followers of the way. Jesus is not a way. He's not one amongst equals. He is the unique, glorious Son of God. He is the only way to the Father. And so early believers in Jesus Christ were called followers of the way. They were known that way. They were called believers. Amen. Amen. Don't be a doubting believer. Be a believing believer. It's who you are. It's your identity to be a believing believer. By nature and character, you are a man or woman of faith. Amen? But in Antioch, and Antioch was a church that was not started by evangelists. It wasn't started by apostles or prophets. Antioch, one of the largest churches of the ancient world, was started by ordinary Christians, ordinary followers of Jesus, who went and shared the gospel with the people of Antioch. Church historians tell us that the church in Antioch grew to be 300,000 people. It was not a small church. It was a third of the whole city. This was a big church. Okay. And it was started by ordinary believers, if there is such a thing. No believer in Christ is ordinary. The moment you become a Christian, you are connected with divinity. You're connected with God. You're one spirit with the Lord. How can you be ordinary? You've got God going around on the inside of you. Guys, come on. The miracle worker lives inside of you. And you live in him. You could never be described as ordinary. So this is the thing. The people of Antioch, they looked at believers and they called them Christians. Christians. It was a term of mockery. They said, who do they think they are? They talk like Jesus. They love like Jesus. They act like Jesus. They do miracles like Jesus. They're just going around being little Christs. Little Jesuses. Well, they're getting the idea, aren't they? That's what we're called to do. We are the body of Christ on the earth. He is the head, and we are different parts of the whole of the body. And we need one another as we need, and we need him. And together as one, where we're all functioning, the body grows with the increase that is from God. So today, if you are a non-functioning body, a non-functioning part of the body, it's time to get into gear. It's time to start functioning. And you know, the miracles that Jesus did, he did by the power of the Spirit. So look, what we're going to do is this. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 3 in your Bible. Luke chapter 3. So I'm going to read to you some portions from Luke 3 and Luke 4. And then Justin is, and I'm going to talk about how we receive, about the fact that Jesus did all of his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to see how Jesus reached out to people doing what he saw his heavenly Father doing. This isn't a religion, this is a relationship. Amen? So we're going to learn how to relate with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you this? Before you were born into this earth, and you were in your mother's womb, nothing prepared you for life outside of your mother's womb. Once you were born, you spend the rest of your life learning how to relate to everything in this world around you. Before you were born again, nothing in this world prepared you for life in the Holy Spirit. But once you were born of the Spirit, you were born into a new realm, a realm in God, where you would learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He's our senior partner. And we've got to learn how he speaks, how he moves. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, the Son of himself can do nothing. But whatever he sees the Father do, he does in like manner. He was giving us a window into his world, telling us how he did the miracles. In his love relationship with the Father by the Holy Spirit, he was seeing in the Spirit the things that the Father was doing. Then he did them practically in faith, like a mirror of what's happening in the spiritual world. And when he did it in faith, of what he saw in the Spirit, he stepped out in faith and it manifested on the earth. And miracles happened. And that's the way Jesus did his miracles. And so, guys, if we can learn to hear like Jesus heard, to see like Jesus saw, and we believe like he believed, we can do what he did. And that's the object for every Christian, because we are all called to walk and live like Jesus. Not just in moral purity, which is right, we are called to live that way, and not just in our prayer lives, and yes, we are called to pray like Jesus. And amen? And to go for it. But also in our ministry, we're called to minister like Jesus. And he said every believer can. So this is possible for all of us. So Justin's going to help us to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit move with him. Then Wayne's going to help us to learn how to minister to the sick the way that Jesus did. Amen? Amen. Then I'm going to come back up and we're going to talk about how to receive this power of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to pray for everyone to do so. All right, here we are. Father, we ask for your help today, for the help of your Holy Spirit in this ministry, in Jesus' name. Amen. So look, to understand Luke 3 and Luke 4, you've got to understand Philippians 2. So let me just say this to you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, one of the most famous known passages of the Bible amongst believers. And one of the most famous old hymns. It is actually an ancient hymn. It's one of the most famous, well-known hymns of the early church. It doesn't come over that way in our Bibles, but that's what it was historically. It was a hymn that they sang. And it tells us of the humility of Jesus. How Jesus, being fully God, uncreated, self-existent God, in his great love for us, came down into this earth and humbled himself under the will of the Father, coming as a man. He humbled himself, submitting himself to the Father to such a degree that he even submitted himself to the death of the cross to redeem us. Because he humbled himself to such an extent, God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name which is above every name, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That every knee in heaven, on earth, and on earth should bow to his name, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, in the original Greek, where it says he humbled himself and came as a man, the Greek says he laid aside his heavenly privileges. So listen, Jesus is God. Now, as being God, some of the qualities of God are this. God is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere at the same time. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. And he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. But when Jesus came into the earth, he didn't lay aside being God, but he laid aside the privileges of Godhead. In the sense that, suddenly he was not everywhere at the same time. He's in a human body. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He did no miracles for 30 years, even though he was fully God and fully man. But he came as a man. But at John's baptism in Luke chapter 3, we find this. The Spirit came upon him. Then it says, the Spirit filled him. Then it says, the Spirit led him. And last of all, the Spirit empowered him with purpose. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 3. If we go to verse 16, go to verse 15. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether this is John the Baptist, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That word baptize means to be immersed in. That's the Greek word for it, to immerse in. A couple of years ago, my wife bought some blue jeans. Okay? Now, I am a man. That should be obvious, but I am a man. And as a man, buying a pair of jeans is not really a big deal. Okay? You just go, and as long as it fits roughly, you buy them. But I've discovered since being married that buying a pair of jeans for a woman is a totally different issue. You know, they come in all shapes and sizes, and it just has to fit right. I mean, that's just the way it is. And once a lady gets a pair of jeans that she really likes and fits right, she doesn't want to part with them. And so the thing about it is, my wife bought this pair of jeans. She sought long and hard to find, and she got them. She loved these pair of jeans. But the jeans were getting old and losing their color. And so she decided that she wanted to change the color of the jeans. So she bought some black dye. They were light blue jeans. And she got some black dye, some black color. And she took the blue jeans and she immersed them. Sorry, I let the little one go. And she immersed the blue jeans into the black color. Okay? When she took it out, the character of the jeans had changed. It was no longer blue. It was black. It had taken on the character of what it was immersed into. Brothers and sisters, when you are baptized into Christ, you take on a new character. You are identified with Jesus Christ. Amen. You're in Him and He is in you. You follow Him through His death, burial, and resurrection. And you are raised in newness of life with Jesus Christ. And this is the thing. Then He is called the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. He is the power of God. When you are immersed into Him by Jesus, you are filled with power. You are filled with power. Let me tell you this, friends. No power, no Holy Spirit. You can't have the Holy Spirit without power. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have power. Amen. There's lots to talk about that, but let me just say this to you. The Bible says in verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 4, then he overcomes Satan by the word of God on his lips. Verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. Now guys, look, this is the thing. We are here really over these days to talk about evangelism and about equipping in evangelism and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to say this to you. I've personally had the joy of leading somewhere around 250,000 people to the Lord. And I can tell you, as can the members of my team, both the guys here and other team members that we have elsewhere, the greater majority of the people who come to the Lord under our ministry come to the Lord because they encountered Jesus in a miracle, in the power of the Holy Spirit in some way. We see, you know, the Apostle Peter described Jesus' ministry when he was preaching in Cornelius' house in Acts 10. He described it this way, in Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus' preaching of the gospel, Jesus' healing of the sick, Jesus setting people free and healing broken hearts was all done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of this is the ministry of the gospel that is to go out through the church, through believers in Christ today. Amen? So understand this, and I'm going to say this, and then we're going to wrap up, because I will have laid my foundation. I'm going to hand over to Justin. So let me just say this to you. A number of years ago, you'll find this interesting. A number of years ago in Europe, there was a man called Professor Engel. Professor Engel. He was a German, Austro-German. And he was a Christian and a sociologist. And he was interested to discover how many times people hear the good news about Jesus before they become a Christian. So they did a huge survey over thousands of Christians to discover how many times did they hear about Jesus before they became a Christian. Now these were the results of the survey. On average, everyone they interviewed who became a Christian, of thousands of people, on average, each person hears about Jesus between 6 to 11 times before they become a Christian. Now, that's very interesting. Now, that tells us that actually when we're sharing Jesus with people, we are always either sowing seeds or watering or reaping the harvest. But we're all involved in the process. All of us are involved in the process. But listen, guys, here was another interesting statistic that they discovered when they did the survey. They didn't expect this, and they weren't looking for it. But here was another thing they discovered. People who had an encounter with Jesus, a Christian prayed for them, and they felt the power of the Holy Spirit come on them. Maybe someone gave them a word of knowledge or a prophecy. Maybe they were prayed for and they got healed. They had a dream, a visitation, or something like that. When people encountered the power of Jesus, they jumped from point zero, no faith in Jesus at all, to the place of salvation. Shum. Just like that. Now, that tells us something. Although miracles are an expression of Jesus' compassion, they are also really desirable as a means to bring people to salvation. The miracles don't save them by themselves. They are signs that point to Jesus. But people have still got to hear the gospel because faith comes by hearing the word of God. So they must hear. So we can't just pray and then leave it like that. We need to pray and tell them about Jesus. And then challenge them to give their life to Christ. Amen? Amen? But that tells us about this. So look, the power of the Spirit is not given just so that we shake, and not given just so that we laugh, and not just given so we fall on the floor and we roll about and have a fantastic time. I'm in for all of that, by the way. I love all of that. And fantastic. But nonetheless, let me say to you, the power of the Holy Spirit is not given to you for that purpose. Primarily. All of that are just manifestations. But it's not the primary purpose. There's a difference between purpose and manifestation, isn't there? You don't know how you'll react to the power of the Spirit when it comes on you. That's manifestation. But let me say this to you. But the purpose for which he manifested, that's another thing. And so we see here that Jesus stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath day and he declares his purpose. Verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor. In verse 21, he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Brothers and sisters, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do all of these things. To preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to heal broken hearts, to set captives free. And let me tell you, Jesus will do it all through you. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So guys, look, I haven't told you any stories yet. There's loads to tell. But actually, what we want to do right now is just lay a foundation that you can know. This is the reason why the Spirit comes. This is the power. This is the power of God. And this is the reason why the power of God comes. And this is what's available to every one of us today. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to ask Justin to come up. Can we just give him a warm Liverpool welcome? Amen.
Right, I'm keeping a really close eye on the time here. we're going to just start with a couple of verses out of John 5. John 5, verse 19 and 20. It says this, then Jesus answers and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Let me say that again. This is Jesus talking about himself, saying the Son can do nothing by himself. That's going back to that passage in Philippians that John read from. Somebody famous said this, that everything that Jesus did, he didn't do. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying that all of his works, all the things that he did, all the healings and the miracles, he did because he saw what his Father was doing and then stepped out to do those things that the Father was showing him. So you have, if you're a born-again believer and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you have exactly this, you are exactly then like Jesus. Because that's how Jesus ministered. Jesus didn't do anything because Jesus didn't perform any miracle or heal anybody because he was the Son of God. He did those because he was baptized and was moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter whether you're 14, 44, or 84. If you're born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can do what Jesus did. If you step out with that leading of the Holy Spirit inside you, what you see the Father doing. Go back one chapter to John chapter 4. This is the account. It's not a story. It's an account. It actually happened, different to a story. This is the account of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. It says that he left, verse 3 of chapter 4, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So he was going from the south, Judea, the part where Jerusalem is, back up to the north to Galilee. And it says, interesting, verse 4, it says, but he needed to go through Samaria. Now look, if you know anything about the geography of Israel, you will know that that was not the most direct route. That was the longest route. But it says that he needed to go there. Why? Why did he need to go there? He needed to go there because the Father had shown him something that was going to take place in Samaria. He was following the leading of the Holy Spirit. He'd been in prayer. He'd been in the secret place before setting off. So he heard from the Father. He knew that that's where he needed to go. The Father had shown him. He went to the city of Samaria, and he went to a well there. He was there at midday. Verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. So look, he's starting off a conversation about something very natural. He's getting into this conversation with somebody. It's actually, he knows all sorts of things about this woman that she doesn't know that he knows about her. But he doesn't start with all the things that the Father's shown him already. He doesn't say to her, oh, by the way, nice to meet you. This morning, when I was in my quiet time, I was praying and I saw that I had to go via Samaria and I saw that I would meet you here at this well and I know all about your life. No, he just said, can I have a drink, please? Can I have a drink, please? He got into a conversation. So when the Father has shown you something about somebody, you don't have to dive straight in with that. Just get talking to them. Just get chatting. You know, if somebody's walking a dog, they've got a nice dog. Compliment them on their dog or, you know, on the clothes that they're wearing or, you know, just find something in just something natural to talk about and get into conversation with them, okay? And actually, it could be that you notice that somebody has got some kind of impediment, like they might have a stick or a crutch. So you could even start with asking a question. Oh, I'm sorry to see that you've got that. Tell me, how did that happen? What's wrong with you? That's a good way of just getting into a conversation with somebody before you then offer to pray for them. Okay, so you just start with something natural. Start with the ordinary, the everyday. Verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So look, Jesus was kind of breaking two rules here. Number one, he was talking to a woman. That was a no-no. Number two, he was talking to a Samaritan. Listen, don't be put off with who the Father shows you to go and talk to. If you have a leading from the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit's shown you about somebody, don't worry about the color, the creed that they might have, you know, how intimidating they might look. If the Holy Spirit's shown you something, if you have a prompting or a leading from that, from the Spirit inside you, just go with it. Just go with it. So we were in Slovakia. And we were out, and it was a really hot afternoon. We'd been out for quite a while. And to be honest, I was ready to go back in, get myself an ice cream on the way, and just go and have a sit down. But as we walked across the market square, there was a guy walking across the square. He was the only one. It was similar to this. It was the middle of the day. It was really hot, middle of the afternoon. And as he walked across, I was with a translator, and I just knew that I should go and talk to him. I just knew. And I knew that there was something wrong with him. I knew that he was in pain. There wasn't anything on the outside that visibly showed that. But I knew he was in pain. So I just went with him and I just said hi. Now look, this guy, I didn't know this at the time, but this guy had been a really successful boxer. So he was quite a big bloke. Well, not very tall, but he was really stocky. And I went over to him and just said, "Hi, you know, how you doing?" And I said, "You know, my name's Jesse. I'm from the United Kingdom." And I said, "Sir, I said, just tell me, are you in pain? Are you in pain in any part of your body?" Straight away, he started telling me all about his foot, and how he had this really, really bad pain in his foot. So I said, "Listen, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus, and Jesus has given me a wonderful promise that if I lay my hands on you and pray in Jesus' name, you'll recover. Can I pray for you, sir?" And he said, "Yeah, sure. Go ahead." So I just knelt down and laid my hands on his foot, just prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And then I just said, "Sir, test your foot out and see if there's any change." So he, being a boxer, being a bloke, he just kind of went like this. And banged his foot on the ground. And then he turned to the translator, who spoke the same language, obviously. And he starts talking at him at like 100 miles an hour. And then he went over, and there was a bench nearby. And he went like this. And he started kicking the sole of his foot against the bench really hard. I thought he was going to damage his foot. And then he goes back to the translator. And he starts to explain to the, you know, again, talking at 100 miles an hour. The translator starts to look a little bit embarrassed. And I say, "You know, what's going on? And he says, "Well," he says, the guy says the pain has completely gone. And he can't believe it. And he's swearing his head off. It just so happened that we had a guy from the BBC out with us filming and caught all of this on camera, on video. Now look, I just knew that I had to go and talk to him. Okay, on the outside, he was a little bit intimidating. You know, he didn't look that happy, and he looked like, you know, if I got on the wrong side of him, he could do me some serious damage. But I just went for it anyway. I just stepped out. I want to encourage you, just step out with what the Lord shows you, to just go with it. So Jesus is in this conversation and he starts to talk to her then about water. And he says this, he said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So he starts off in the natural, he starts off just talking about water, but then very quickly he starts to turn the conversation around and starts to talk about spiritual things. He starts to talk about the Holy Spirit. Well, he's talking round about the Holy Spirit, living water. He's trying to use metaphor to connect with her and to draw her into this conversation. Because he knows that her real thirst is only going to be met through relationship with God. That's the same for every human being. Each one of us, the only way that inner missing piece is going to be fulfilled is by the fulfillment of relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. If you are here tonight, I know John is going to minister on this, but look, if you are here tonight and you've not been baptized in the Spirit, the only qualification you need is to be thirsty. It's to be thirsty. And he will give you. The Bible, Jesus said that the Father loves to give the Holy Spirit to everyone that asks. He loves to give good gifts. Jesus goes on, verse 13, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, talking about the natural water. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him. So look, he's carrying on, talking about the fulfillment that she's going to have if she has the water that he can give her. Right. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I might not thirst, nor come here to draw. That's the point at which he starts to share the revelation that he has about her. At that point where he knows that she is open. She's open to hear. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And of course she says, I have no husband. So she's kind of giving a half truth here. But he doesn't let her get away with that. He continues showing and revealing the insight that the Father's shown him. You have said, well, I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Now look, then she kind of acknowledges that that's the truth. She doesn't say it, but she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. And then down in verse 29, when she's talking about the Messiah and knowing that things are going to get sorted out when the Messiah comes, when he comes, he will tell us all things. Then Jesus says this, he says, I am he who speaks to you. At that point, she goes off and she then, because of that revelation, this is amazing. Because of the revelation of one word of knowledge, it's as if the woman thinks and feels as if this person knows everything about her. Everything. It's like she's completely undone. She's completely open. Everything has changed. She started off kind of like, well, you know, what are you doing talking to me? And now it's like, wow, come and meet the guy who's told me everything about my life. Well, actually, all he said was, I know about your marriage situation. That's all he said, and that's all that's recorded there. So look, not only did she come to Jesus, but then she goes back to the village. She leads a whole pile of guys to come to faith through her testimony. And then when they get to actually meet him themselves and more from the village come, it's like the whole town, the whole village turns to Jesus. Through one individual, God can reach a whole community. Let me say that again. Through one individual, through one person being obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and leading one person into a divine encounter with Jesus, a whole community can be reached. And I want to finish by saying this. That one person that Jesus can use can be you. I'm going to say that again. That one person that Jesus can use to reach one person who will then reach a whole community can be you. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, it can be you. Bless you. Thank you for listening. I'm going to hand over now to Wayne. Let's give Wayne a big round of applause. That's a big welcome.
Good evening, guys. Wow.
That's loud. just one second.
I just want to say, you know something? It's amazing privilege to walk around with these two guys. Because they talk about all these miracles, all these things that they see, the amazing things that we see God doing. And you know something? I just want to let you in on something that not everybody knows. 50% of the time, I'm a plumber. I stick my hands down people's toilets. Yeah, I'm not the kind of guy that people would expect that would be going to the far-flung corners of the world seeing fantastic exploits that Jesus is doing today. I'm a normal guy. I drive a white van. There is nothing special about me except him whose hand that I am holding. I want to tell you, you know, Isaiah gives us a wonderful promise. Gives us a wonderful promise. And it says this. It says, the word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper the thing for which I send it. This is good news. This is good. This is good. And the Great Commission tells us to go. To go heal the sick. Cast out demons. Raise the dead. Share the gospel. I want to let you in on something. This is his idea. We're not doing things of our own volition. This is what Jesus' idea was for us. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's his idea. Now tell the other person, do as you're told. I want to tell you an account that's in Acts chapter 3. This is where Peter and John, they're walking through the town. They're going about their business doing what they do. They're not doing anything out of the ordinary. They're doing something that happens every single day. They're walking to the temple to pray. They're doing what they usually do. They wasn't going around looking for any specific thing. They was just going to the temple. They was going to the temple to pray. And as they was going through this gate, the beautiful gate, they saw a man. This man that hundreds of people, thousands of people, millions of people have seen. Everybody has seen this man who goes through this gate. And everybody has seen, they all know, this is the lame man. The lame man who says, have you got any change? This is the lame man that everybody knows. He gets brought in the morning and he gets taken away at night. Every single day. This day, this is a day to remember. He turned around to these two people, just faces in the crowd, and said, have you got any change, mate? And they said, look at us. Look at us. Silver and gold we don't have. What I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Wow. Now, I love, I absolutely love. It makes fire in my bones when I see things that are written in the Bible happening today. And I've been told and asked to come up here tonight and share how we see these things happen. Well, I want to tell you, I've told you already, I drive a white van. I'm a normal person. I'm not a superstar. And I'm really encouraged by Peter and John. Because Peter and John, they wasn't scholars of the day. They wasn't sort of like, you know, theologians. They didn't have letters behind their name. They caught fish. They caught fish. These are normal guys. They know fish. They stink of fish. Their hands are all calloused with years of pulling ropes and hard work. They're not theologians. Normal, everyday guys. But they know somebody. They know somebody. They know that there is something extraordinary about the person that they know. In Luke 10, Jesus turned round to these people and said, I give you authority. He said, I give you authority. In fact, this is exactly what he said. It's in Luke 10, 19. It says, I give you all authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Over all the power of the enemy. How many people know that sickness is of the enemy? How many people know that disease is of the enemy? How many people know that death is an enemy? Jesus is saying here, I give you power, authority over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall harm you. I want to share an account because it's true. I want to share an account of what happened when I was in Argentina. As we was just going about our business, the pastor that we was with, he had a list of people that he wanted us to see in this village as we was there one day. And the pastor's busy as and about, come over here, come over here, come over here, come over here. And we're here, we're there, we're everywhere, we're praying for the sick, we're seeing miraculous things happen. But as we're walking past one place, I said, I want to go in there. And he said, no. Come. So we sort of like go past and we go past this place again. I said, I want to go in there. He said, no. I want to ask you, how many people, as you've been going about your daily lives, just get this little thing on the inside of you that turns around and says, you need to do this. Speak to that person about Jesus. Pray for this person. I want to tell you today that that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that is nudging your spirit to turn around and say, I want to work through you today to accomplish the extraordinary. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me like this. And as I looked at this door, it had a curtain over it. This curtain said, love, hell. I love hell. All over this curtain. And as I was looking at this curtain, everything within me was remembering what Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This thing was an affront to my faith. And I thought, there's something in there that needs the attention of the Savior. So we ended up, we knocked on this door. There was a family of 5 people inside this house. One of the people was an alcoholic. This alcoholic man, he'd been in the village. Everybody knew he was an alcoholic. He was a nasty alcoholic. He was the type of man that would shout, swear, throw things at people. He was grumpy. His wife had left him. And he was paralyzed. in his legs. We started to share about the love of Jesus with this man. And you know something? There's something about the love of Jesus. When we start to speak about the love that God, that Jesus demonstrated God's love for him, people's hearts start to melt. People's hearts start to change. And as we started to speak about the love that God had for these people, that he sent his one and only son, and these people was receiving us, every single one in this house, apart from the man, was listening to us because he was dragging himself out of the way. He started to peep around the corner as we were telling about the acceptance, the love that only Jesus has. As we started to ask people, would you like to invite Jesus Christ into your life? Would you like to invite Jesus Christ? His grandchildren, they accepted Jesus Christ into their life. His children, his daughter, she accepted Jesus into her life. We looked at him as he was hiding around the door. I said, sir, would you accept the love of Jesus Christ into your life today? He came, dragged himself into the room. He accepted Jesus Christ there and then. As we started to pray for him with the love that Jesus has, showing the compassion that was stirring in our spirit through the Holy Spirit. Do you know something? Miracles are Jesus' nature. And when Christ is in us, his nature is reflected through us. The love that only he has is reflected through us. And compassion just pouring out of us. Christ's compassion pouring out of us. This man gave his heart to Jesus, said, sir, I want to pray for your legs. Said, sir, I want to pray for your legs, and I believe that today, if you would accept and you would forgive those who have wronged you, that today you will be healed in the name of Jesus. He started to share about his wife that had left him, that she had broken his heart, that he turned to the drink after that. It'd become a really nasty piece of work on the back of it. But he forgave her. And you could just see the love of God fill him up. And sir, rise up. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and walk. This man got up. He moved one leg. He moved the other leg. You could just see relief on his face. Something was happening as he started to stumble towards his door. And then he got onto the street. And then he started to walk even freer and freer. And it got to the point as he's standing up and down the street like this that I can't even keep up with him, because God is a God who's a miracle God. And when we reflect the nature of him who saved us, we do the things that he did. And when we reflect the nature, the love that he has inside of us, this unlocks a power of the Holy Spirit within us, that we will do the things that he will do. I want you to do something for me. I want you to turn the next person to you and tell them, you are extraordinary. And in Jesus' name, you will do extraordinary things. I prophesy this over you in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So we're going to talk now about how to receive this power and how to move in it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk for about 15, 20 minutes, and then we're going to pray. Okay? Prepare your hearts now, because this is the moment where you need to respond to what God is saying. You need to be thirsty. You need to come. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit, who was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But since Jesus was glorified, Jesus received, after the resurrection, Jesus ascended to the Father. He received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he poured him out on the day of Pentecost. And so the 120 disciples were waiting in the upper room when the Spirit came. And he came as a mighty wind. All the windows and the doors were closed. But the Holy Spirit came like a mighty wind into that room. I've been in meetings around the world where that has happened. The Spirit suddenly came. You could feel him. People's hair was blown in the wind, but it was tangible power. And demons came screaming out of people, and the sick were healed, and incredible things happened. The power of God fell. Fire appeared and came and rested on each head, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, or the ability to speak. Now, guys, that word is really important. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Now, guys, I have preached in some Islamic nations. I've preached in Hindu nations. I've preached in many different countries. And I've learned this, that if we're going to reach Muslims for Christ, if we're going to reach Hindus for Christ, if we're going to reach staunch Western atheists for Christ, whatever religion people come from or whatever their background, they need to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, my family is from a legal background. I come from a family of lawyers and property people and stuff like that. And I have stood in courts of law in this country to present cases. And I can tell you this, that if you stand before a judge and you say, this is the truth about what happened, the judge will say, show me. Where is the evidence? Brothers and sisters, the power of the Holy Spirit is all about evidence. Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he still demonstrates today that Christ is risen from the dead by healing the sick and setting captives free in the name of Jesus. So I grew up in a church that everybody in the church had got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says when people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they speak in other tongues. It's not the only thing. Of course, they can prophesy as well and move in the gifts of the Spirit. But the primary gift that manifests when people get baptized in the Spirit is speaking in other tongues. The power, the Holy Spirit is given with power to be a witness for Christ. The tongues is given to steward the power you receive. Because when you pray with other tongues, you build yourself up in faith and in the power of the Spirit. You pray the perfect will of God into every situation that you encounter. You give thanks perfectly to God. This is a very, very powerful gift. Bible says in Jude 20, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 and 4, he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself, encourages himself, builds himself up. The Greek says charges himself. Amen. When you pray in other tongues. So let me just say this to you, that we all need improvement. We all need empowering. We all need encouragement and strengthening. We all need to know how we should pray in each and every situation. We need our faith to be strong. Brothers and sisters, all of this comes with the Holy Spirit. All of this comes with speaking in other tongues. And so growing up, I'm going to be real with you about my experience. I was 9 years old when my father and mother were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. They were Baptists. They loved the Bible. They loved the Word of God. They loved to share the gospel with people. But they lacked power in their life. And they became hungry for more of God. And as they got hungry and thirsty for more of God, they began to seek Him. And as they began to seek Him, and let me say again, as Justin was saying to us a few moments earlier, if you want the Holy Spirit, you've really got to want the Holy Spirit. You've got to be thirsty for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not come on people who tolerate Him. The Holy Spirit comes on people who want Him. You've got to be thirsty for Him. Amen. So we see we have four accounts in the New Testament of people being baptized in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. We have Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, and Acts 19. In three of the four, it directly says they spoke with other tongues. The only one it doesn't directly says that is in Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. But what it does say is that Simon the sorcerer physically saw that when Peter and John laid hands on the new believers in Samaria, he saw that the Holy Spirit was given when they laid hands on them. That means something manifestly happened when the Holy Spirit was given. Because it impressed him so much, he offered them money so that he could have the gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift to give people the Holy Spirit himself. And Peter said, your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. Can I just say as a little aside, if anyone ever tells you that you can buy the gifts of God with an offering, it is deception. Very true. It's deception. Very true. You are not bought with silver and gold. You are bought with a price far greater than that. You are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you belong to God. Amen? No one could ever buy you with money. Amen. And you couldn't pay for the power of the Holy Spirit. He's a gift. My parents were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody in the church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was 9 years old. I grew up in an environment during the worship. Sometimes the glory and presence of God would come so strong in the worship, we would go on for 2 hours. People would be picked up off their chairs and laid out under the power of the Holy Spirit, no one touching them. This is what was known as the charismatic renewal in our country. It's very powerful. And in those meetings where the glory of God would come, everybody would start, Sambre vele melende la masi yalamandu. They'd be singing in other tongues and worshiping the King. Singing in tongues. Worshiping in other tongues. Well, I'm a 9-year-old boy. I don't yet speak in tongues, but I really wanted to. But I didn't really understand it, you see. And I didn't want to be the odd one out. So I just made it up. I listened to everybody around me while they're kuda badrianda la mashi singing. And I went, kuda, kuda, kuda. What was that? I'm kind of, you know. So when they'd all go, I'd put my hands too and I, shabba, shabba. You know. And so all of this would be going on and I made it up, you know. And for about 3 years, I made it up. Until one day I was in a youth meeting. And at the end of this youth meeting, it was only a social. We didn't even preach that night. And we just played games and then we had fish and chips. And there was only about 13 of us there. And then the youth leader said, before we go tonight, guys, let's just put an arm around each other and let's pray in tongues for a few moments. And he was next to me. And I thought, oh no. I thought, I'm going to be discovered. And so they all put around their tongue, and he puts his arm around me. He was a big guy. He was a baker. He's a big fella, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. He had lots of room as well. But anyway, that's another point. But anyway, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, he put his arm around me, and everybody starts praying in other tongues. And they all start praying in other tongues, and I very quietly go, shabba, 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 shabba. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of having your eyes closed, but you can tell that someone is looking at you. Have you ever had that experience? Okay, so my eyes are closed, and I'm shabba, 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 shabba. And I have the feeling that Dave here is looking at me. So I kind of... And there he is, and he's looking at me. And I look at him. And he says, I don't think that's tongues, John. I said, well, you know, yes. He said, come on, everybody, let's lay hands on John. I say to people, that's the ball patch right there. That's really on me. And they all started praying for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as they prayed for me, a few words started to come up on the inside. So Dave, being a big, bold sort of guy, said to me, come on, John, spit it out. You know, you need to speak in tongues, you know. So I just started, I spoke a few words, and then, you know, and then he hit me on the back and almost sent me across the room and said, come on, be bold with it. Jesus will give you more. But as I began to speak out, more came. Just a bit. I didn't get loads on my first time, but I got the first words of a language, a bit like a baby language. I start praying in other tongues. And about a couple of months later, I can remember, I went through stages with this. I can remember my father was a pastor. He was a businessman, but he was also a pastor. And he had a whole wall of books about revival and the move of God. And I used to read those books. And I wanted to be used by God in revival. And it made me hungry. And one thing I knew about men and women of God that God used in revival, they were all great prayers. And so I remember going up to my bedroom after being baptized in the Spirit. And I got down on my knees. And I thought, right, this is it. I've received the power, and now I'm going to bring heaven down. We're going to have revival. And so I got down on my knees, and I'm praying in tongues. And, you know, I read all these books about how they prayed for hours, and the glory came. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I close the door behind me. I get on my knees, and I'm praying away in tongues. And after a while, this is hard work, this praying in tongues stuff. I thought I must have prayed at least 2 hours. So I felt a bit unspiritual doing it, but I thought I would just check to see. I thought, man, 5 minutes. I thought, what hope is there for me? You know. But you see, the trouble is, I'd had so many years where my flesh was dominating my spirit. My spirit was weak. And I needed to learn to stir up the gift of God inside. Break out of the limitations of my flesh life. So I started praying more in the spirit. And then about a week later, I was at a prayer meeting with my dad, and I was praying in tongues. And when we got home, I got out the car and we closed the door, we're about to go inside. My dad kind of leant against the car for a moment. He said, John, I listened to you as you were praying in tongues tonight. I said, yes. He said, you know, you seem to be repeating the same 3 words an awful lot. I said, well, yes. He said, you know, Jesus promised rivers of living water. Rivers. He said, not a few drips. He said, I think you need to go back to Jesus and ask him for some more. You know. Do you know, the wonderful thing is, the Bible says the rivers of God are full of water. There's no limitation. It's unlimited. And so he promised rivers of living water. And so we have to come and keep coming. In fact, this may surprise you, But when Jesus said, whoever is thirsty, let him come, in the Greek language, it's in what's called the present continuous tense. So literally, this is what he said. If anyone is thirsty, let him come and let him keep on coming. And let him drink and let him keep on drinking. And whoever believes and keeps on believing, as the scripture says, out of the innermost womb of his spirit will keep on flowing rivers of living water. So brothers and sisters, if you want the rivers to keep flowing in your life, you have to keep coming to Jesus. You have to keep drinking and you have to keep believing. A major key for me, I was prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit when I was 9. I spoke in tongues properly and the river started flowing when I was 12. But you know, a major key for me was this, Acts 2:4, they spoke with other tongues. I thought, nobody taught me this, but I just thought it, that if it was God, it would just come gushing out of me and it would be uncontrollable. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our partner. He empowers us to speak. He empowers us to speak in tongues. He doesn't do the speaking. We do the speaking. But so they spoke. The Spirit gave the utterance, but they spoke. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, I will pray in the Spirit with my spirit. I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. And I will sing with my understanding. Brothers and sisters, we do the speaking. We do it. But the Spirit empowers it and gives you the language. And there are many, many languages. Heavenly languages. Earthly languages. Wow. God will give you languages you have never learned. It doesn't come from your head. It comes from your spirit. But you've got to want it. So let me just tell you this by comparison, because in a few moments we're going to pray for you now to receive the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, you've got to believe. You must be born again. Jesus said the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. So you must be born again. Secondly, you've got to want the Holy Spirit. You've got to be thirsty for him. And number three, you've got to come and drink. And number four, you need to believe you receive. And you need to speak and trust God. When I stepped out to speak, the word started flowing. It will happen to you too. I sometimes in English churches, we have to go through all the theology to undo all of the negative believing and then go through and teach them all the scriptures till they're finally persuaded. And then sometimes people come up to me and say, all right, well, pray for me then. I guess I've got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit then. You know, I guess I've got to speak in tongues. And the trouble is they don't get anything. And you know why they don't get anything? Because they don't really want it. They're theologically persuaded, but their heart is not thirsty. This is not about just being mentally convinced. It's about our heart being one for Jesus. Amen. You're passionate for him. By contrast, I was in a meeting down in Surrey, in England, a full gospel businessman's meeting, and a 9-year-old boy, I didn't know what he was doing in a businessman's meeting. I thought maybe they start them early down there, but he was a 9-year-old boy, and he came up to me, and he said to me, this is what he said. He said, Jonathan, please put your hand on me. Pray for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. I so want the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues. Will you pray for me to receive the Holy Spirit? I don't know why I said it, but I said to him, okay, well, like the Apostle Paul did in Acts chapter 19, I'm going to lay hands on you. And when I put my hands on you, the Holy Spirit will come on you and you'll be able to speak in tongues. You can even prophesy if you like. And he looked at me with a look that said, I don't care what Acts chapter 19 says. I just want the Holy Spirit. Just. So he was so thirsty that when I rested my hand on him, his faith in his little heart so believed that when I laid hands on him, he would receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't even get the chance to pray. When I rested my hands on him, he burst out in other tongues. I felt like stopping, saying, no, not yet. I haven't prayed. Just wait, you know. But the thing is that he believed and he was thirsty. He fulfilled the qualifications. He came to Jesus and Jesus met him. Now, right now, what I'm going to do is this. Listen, I don't want to mess around about this. If you want the power of God, the power of God will be your portion. It's here for you. Some of you are very young here. Some of you children are here. I became a Christian when I was 4 years old. Listen, we were all born in sin. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You need to have Jesus living in your heart. You've got to ask Christ into your heart. So it doesn't matter how old or how young you are here today, or what your background is, you need to ask Jesus into your life to forgive your sins. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for the things you and I have done wrong. He died, he was buried, and he was raised back to life. And the Bible says if you believe that and confess him as Lord, you'll be saved. So you need to turn from your sin today and put your trust in Jesus to save you. He will. So this is what we're going to do. If you are here tonight, I want to do this because I know some of you want the power of the Spirit, but you can't have him until you're saved first. So you need to be saved. You need to give your life to Jesus. So what I'm going to do is this. If you are not certain your sins are forgiven, if you are not sure you're going to heaven, and you say, John, I want to be sure. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to settle it tonight. If that's you, do this right now. Put your hand up right now. If that's you, whatever your age, just raise it right up. Some of the children are doing that. That's great. Well done. Well done, children. Well done, children. Anybody else, if you need to do it, just raise it up high. Well done. God bless you, kids. God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, what I want you to do. Okay. Kids, I want you right now to close your eyes. Close your eyes. We've seen your hands. Jesus sees your hand most importantly. But I want you to say these words after me. Children, young people, if you raise your hand, you're going to say a prayer. I want you to say every word I say. Say it after me and mean it. Remember, you're talking to God, so mean it. All right? Jesus will come into your heart and forgive you and make you a child of God today. And everybody else is going to join us in the prayer to support you. Here we are. Let's say this together. Say after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me, that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Lord, I believe. I believe in you. And I believe you're risen. And you're here right now. I'm sorry for my sins. I turn away from them to follow you. Please come into my heart. Make me brand new on the inside. A child of God. I receive you now. Come in, Lord. Save me. I will follow you the rest of my life. And I boldly confess that Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to follow you and tell others about you. I'm going to live my life for you from this moment on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for a first time, you are one of those that raise your hand. I want you to turn to someone next to you now and say to them, I've become a Christian. Just tell them, I've become a Christian. However young you are or old, tell them now, I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate that. Thank you, Lord. That's wonderful. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Now, for everyone who is not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but you want it, you need to get up and come here right now. Get up and come here right now. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you want it, get up and come and join me here at the front. We're going to pray for you. If you don't come, we're not going to pray. It's just that simple. But if you want it, come and we'll pray. Here's a man who's going to get his portion. Amen. Now, you don't have to get on your knees, but you can if you want to. That was a heart response. It's entirely up to you. It's not a requirement. but you can if you want to. Jesus sees your thirst. Jesus sees your thirst. He'll give you all your own languages. He'll fill you with power. You guys are going to become powerful witnesses for Jesus. Every one of you. Every one of you are going to become powerful witnesses for Jesus. Amen. 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 And in a few moments here, I'm going to ask my dear brothers, leaders from both churches, as well as my teammates here, to come and join me as we lay hands on these guys. Yes, come, brother, if you're free. All right, any of you brothers, just you come and pray. Now, children and adults, I want you to look at me for a few moments. What we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. All right? I want you to open your hands like this to the Lord. Jesus is here. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Open your hands to Him. This is a free gift. Jesus has made you holy by His blood. All right? So this is a grace gift. And God's just going to fill you now. You receive the gift and He's going to fill you. So we're going to pray another prayer together. I want you to say the words after me. And then Jesus is going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. When He does, we're going to come round. We're going to lay our hands on you. Now, you may start speaking in tongues. Remember, you have to do the speaking. There's going to come a moment where you need to open your mouth by faith and just speak out and trust God to give you the words that the Holy Spirit is giving to you. Just trust Him. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to him saying, oh, you're making it up and all this kind of stuff. No, no, no. Jesus said, if your son asked you for a loaf of bread, a piece of bread, would you give him a snake? Of course not. You'd give him the bread. And so when you ask your Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what He'll give you. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. Amen. So guys, and then we're going to speak in tongues together. All right? Okay, everybody, close your eyes now. You're coming to Jesus. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So just pray this prayer now after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am thirsty for You. I want to tell others about You. I want to speak in tongues. I want to move in miracles. I want You to have Your way in my life. Lord Jesus, fill me now with Your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask You, give me the gift of Your Holy Spirit. I receive You now, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, fill me with power. Release new tongues in me. I receive You right now, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to pray for you. You don't need to repeat these words, but I'm just going to pray for you. And as I do, the Holy Spirit, He's already coming on some of you right now. Lord, I just thank You for the ministry of Your Spirit. But we just pray right now. Let Your Holy Spirit just come. Come and fill. Come and fill. Come and fill. Come and fill. Come and fill each one. Come and fill each one. Come and fill each one now. In the name of Jesus. Come and fill each one with the power of the Spirit. Come and fill each one. Don't be looking around. Just raise your hands. And open your mouth and start to speak out, and God will fill it. God will give you new tongues in the name of Jesus. Fill each one with power, Lord. Fill each one with power, Jesus. Fill each one with power, Jesus. More of Your Spirit, Jesus. More of Your anointing. More of Your power to come in each one. In Jesus' name, receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Now, guys, while these people are being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is still moving and touching people's lives, I want to teach you how to receive a word of knowledge. I want to teach you how to receive a word of knowledge. And if you want this, if you're thirsty for this, for all of the gifts of the Spirit, you've got to be thirsty for it all. You've got to be thirsty for tongues and thirsty for words of knowledge and thirsty for gifts of healings and thirsty for all of His gifts. We come and we keep coming. We ask and we ask again. We receive in Jesus' name. We keep praying in tongues and stepping out in faith. But ask the Lord for the word of knowledge. Ask Him for a word of knowledge. It will come to you as a thought, an impression. It can just come into your heart, your mind, and be gone again quite quickly. But there's an internal knowing that that something's happening there. God is speaking into you. There's that knowing inside. And sometimes it comes just that way, an inner knowing. Sometimes it's a scripture that comes to you. Sometimes it's a picture on the inside that the Holy Spirit gives to you. Sometimes it's just a thought or an impression. Sometimes when it's a physical condition, it's a feeling in your body and a part of your body that corresponds with a problem in someone else's. Sometimes it's like an x-ray that you see on the inside of a problem in their body. And so what we're going to do right now is we're just going to pray in the Spirit and ask Jesus to give you a word of knowledge. As soon as you've got a word of knowledge, I want you to raise a hand. And then I'm going to have you come up here. So, all right, we're just going to wait on the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a word of knowledge. And as you get a word of knowledge, you receive a word of knowledge, I want you to raise a hand, okay? May it just come to you as a thought, as a picture, okay? As soon as we get five people who've got words of knowledge, then we'll start ministering. Father, I pray that you would release words of knowledge amongst us here. That you would release words of knowledge, that you would touch people, and that you would impart gifts of your Spirit even now. You would impart gifts of your Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Release the word of knowledge. Release the gifts of your Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's like a thought or a picture, an impression that the Lord gives you. Okay, in a moment. I'll ask you off, all right. Karabasai. Avrababatalabasilabadrabrakutulabasia. Avrokutulabashilabadradrakalabadendelebebe. Tanamasumbravete drakiri.